Oink, oink, mother... Kevin said it, not me, last week. We're playing for the pig this week. It's Floyd, a bronze pig. The best trophy in all of college football. Iowa has been able to hold on to that nice little piece of pork for quite some time. It'd be great if we could do that again. 266. Sit back, relax, let's have a day. Let's go.
Welcome back, Washoe Walk-Ons fans, episode 266 of the podcast. The family is back together, me, Kluv, Kevin. It's nice to have all three of us together on a weekly episode. Doesn't always happen, so feels pretty good. What doesn't feel good is the fact that Kluver showed up in the same shirt 2 days in a row after having posted a workout picture in said shirt. So unless he has an entire wardrobe full of freshly cut off new Walk-On Army t-shirts, which would honestly be pretty gluttonous and extremely douche, then he's wearing a disgusting shirt and showing up to the podcast in the least professional manner of all time. So he's gonna have to take the stand and defend himself in this manner. But Kevin showed up looking very nice, and I'm sure well showered, and I know that I just showered, brushed my teeth, and did a whole hygiene check. So Kluver, speak for yourself.
You just showered and brushed your teeth?
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
At 4:30 in the afternoon? I call bullshit.
And is there an issue with it? Okay, that's fine.
You didn't.
I'll say this. Like, I will sometimes brush my teeth at random hours of the day just because I like the feeling of a clean mouth.
That's the most Kevin thing I've ever heard.
And my shower might have been at 2:30, but between 2:30 and 4:30, I mean,
oh, I guess you, yeah, I guess you were post jits, so that makes a little more sense. I am wearing the same shirt as yesterday that I posted in the picture of the Walk-On Army. I did not work out in this t-shirt. I put it on for the picture, so I'm a front man. Call me a front man. But I had to put it out there and share it with the other Walk-On Army members, who a ton of people reached out and said that the uniform was showing up and that they're repping it this weekend. So love to hear. Yeah, we love nothing more than to hear that. And
the uniform showed up. That's so amazing that they called it the uniform.
Yeah. Yeah, it's incredible. And the unis better be like military taut this weekend. Make sure there's no fuzz on them. Make sure they're straight.
Please keep the sleeves on. Don't be a Tyler Kluver.
Cut the sleeves if you want. That is that is part of dress code. And the bacon's on the line. It's a big deal. Kevin, Mr. Bacon himself, moved up this podcast because he's got important things tonight. And he does look professional. I don't know if, he's going out to have a dinner, and I had hamstring helper for dinner. I call it hamstring helper, hamburger helper. And I'll still never forget the first, the conversation that Drake had with Coach Braithwaite about hamburger helper our freshman year.
Out at the Gatorade cooler.
Yeah, man, we were coming in from a camp practice and I don't know why we were talking about food or whatever. Oh, I think it was at the end of camp because then we were going to have to go back and, it might even be.
I'm pretty sure it was in the summer, man.
Okay. It might have been the first summer we were out, because I think we were talking about making ourselves meals. And you're like, dude, I'm just going to live on a hamburger helper. And in my head, I was kind of trotting along like, that's a pretty good idea. That's a pretty good idea, Drake. I like that. And Coach Ray shot you down. He was like,
so
man,
quick.
He's like, there's a lot. He's like, there's a lot of better foods that you could be eating. And you were so sad.
Because who doesn't love a good hamburger helper?
Because they just he just changed your diet for the next 4 years, so that was unfortunate. On the menu this weekend, I'm sure that beef will have a nice little spread at the Ward tailgate. Kevin, can you give me any insight to that? Do you have any inside information?
Yeah, I mean, you know we're playing for Floyd. Oink, oink. We got nothing but pork served up for Saturday. So we got pigs in a blanket for breakfast. We got some pork chops. We got some bacon. We're going to have it all up, man.
Everybody, I can promise you that I won't step foot on the Ward tailgate this weekend and completely shit all over the Hawks' chances to win at home. I won't do it. I'll let them enjoy their tailgate and enjoy a Hawk W inside of Kinnick, and I'll keep my nasty ass out of Iowa City.
Well, Drake, even if you showed up, we'd still enjoy the tailgate. You'd just be asleep over in the corner.
That happened one time, guy, and the last tailgate I showed up to, I showed up before beef, prompt, with a hot cup of coffee, and I helped them set up their tailgate. So I think I've honestly made up for that, and that's film way back from freshman year, and I don't really think we need to be pulling that film out anymore.
Yeah, I mean, that's just like one of those film clips that Coach has in his archive when he just brings up when he needs to get a good laugh out of the room, you know? Yeah.
That's the one where they pull out the camp film from combat drill and we're trying to embarrass somebody, you know? That's a tough one. I'm very excited for the Ward tailgate. I am going to be there. Kevin, you're going to be there, obviously. I mean, you missed a couple games this year. I can't imagine you're missing this one.
Absolutely not, boys.
Absolutely not. How are we feeling about the Minnesota Gophers, Kev? What are our initial thoughts heading into this game?
It's gonna be, you know, honestly, I don't know which Minnesota team shows up.
Right. No idea. Exactly.
Is it the Minnesota team that damn near gets shut out versus Illinois, or the Minnesota team that loses to Bowling Green, or is it the Minnesota team that, you know, plays well and beats Nebraska, beats the shit out of Northwestern? I don't know, man. I don't know. I think it'll be a physical game. It's going to be all about who can run the ball, who can stop the run. It could be a sloppy game. I don't know, man. I honestly have no idea which way this thing's going to go. We got a new quarterback making his first start. I don't know how this thing's going
to
turn out.
Yeah, we're going to get to Padilla in a second. I'm sure Drake doesn't even know, but Petras isn't even listed on the depth chart.
I think we had talked about that, man. He's actually hurt. Or maybe they brought it up in the walk-on Army Discord. I've been getting a lot of Hawk news from the walk-on Army Discord.
See, I knew the Discord would come in handy, man. I've seen you participating in there.
Hey, I'm just trying to make up for you two shitbirds not doing anything in the Discord. I'm having fun with the people.
And
I'm going to go check the Discord right now.
Go check it. And I'm going to retort with that one on all the other shit that I do for this organization, which, by the way, Kevin was surprised to know that this thing is lucrative now. I mean, we're talking about if the walk-on Army can stay strong and continue to build in the potentially near future in a really utopian world, there's like a walk-on Army studio and we all get to podcast in the same room every once in a while. Like that would be cool.
That would be pretty cool.
We have to grow quite a bit more to get to that point. But you know, we can dream, right? And honestly, the content, like Kevin said in our text thread, would just be off the, it would be off the wall. And I'd be super excited. What are you eating, Drake? What's the meal tonight? Or I guess, again, 4:40.
A breakfast burrito.
Okay, a little post-workout breakfast burrito, huh? Yeah.
Yeah.
So Kevin's eating better than both of us tonight. Great.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing new.
Kevin eats better than both of us every single night. That's pretty guaranteed.
Yeah, that's probably.
Dude, I go to Chipotle 5 nights a week. No way.
Yeah. Let's be honest. Chipotle is quality.
Yeah, that's
and it's so simple, and it's the closest thing to my house, and I don't have to cook because I'm one person. Why would I cook for one person?
Is that?
I'd recommend throwing some vegetables in there, but, you know, rice, beans, meat, that's all you need right there.
Yeah. Fresh guac. Their commercials are on point. They make those ingredients look fresher than it humanly possible. So,
all right. So are we going to do this right now? Are we going to have like the Chipotle Pancheros Qdoba debate or what?
Is Qdoba even in the conversation?
It isn't. But I will tell you, my favorite in town is Estella's.
I was going to say, I've never had Estella's. I know that our guy Petras and Dane Belton have an NIL deal with them. Dude, and so
Estella's slaps.
Yeah, I've heard.
They got some breakfast burritos, which are also incredible.
How about, I'm still sad that Mama's isn't there. We used to hit Mama's after that 11:30.
It's Mommy's, but yeah.
Mommy's Oh man, that was good.
Yeah, what class was that? We always used to. It was always after this, that one class once a week.
We had an 11:30 health and human phys class, and it was potentially with Amy Fletcher. I don't think it was, but we used to go get mommy's burritos at least one of the 2 days a week, and it was fantastic. It used to be on the backside of like what was that road? Gilbert, I believe, in Iowa City.
Yeah, it would have been like right next to one of the cactuses.
Yeah, it was back there. I will say this. Another thing that the Army reached out about was you guys saying that I look old. Several people said I don't look a day over 39. I appreciate that. You guys are correct. Nowhere near the 40s. And one homie of mine, her name's Heidi, said that you two deserve to be slapped for calling me old. So thanks, Heidi.
Are you going to come slap us, Clue?
Slap me, Clue.
You know I'll slap the shit out of Drake. I'll walk into Drake's house and just torch him around a little bit, you know? I'll walk in there and tussle, and he's going to be sweat, you know?
You're just going to walk into his house, his own house, and tell him who's daddy?
Right. You know me. I show up in Arizona. It's already hot, right? It's already hot, middle of the afternoon. And I walk in with a crowbar, but I don't even need it. I slap the sleeves off, and it just gets dicey real quick. And Drake doesn't.
Then why'd you bring a crowbar? If you don't need the crowbar, why'd you bring a crowbar?
Well, I had to break into the house because I didn't have the code. Oh, man. No, I don't know who's going to slap you guys, but I thought that was interesting. Would it surprise you to hear that Minnesota, this is based off of yards given up per game, that Minnesota is actually 2 spots ahead of Iowa at 8th in the country, Iowa sitting at 10.
Yep, they have a good defense. I mean, okay. At times they have a good defense. They against, you know, Ohio State, you know, kind of, but Ohio State's Ohio State. So Minnesota hasn't played a great schedule so far.
Are they the most up and down team in the entire country? Potentially. It just seems like they've played.
I mean, maybe that's Purdue. I don't know.
Also could be Purdue. Now, when we look at total offense, totally different story for both teams, right? Both teams rank in the top 10 in total defense, yards given up. You could probably say that some other stats matter there as well. Minnesota ranks 96th in total offense at 361 yards per game. And just to make ourselves feel a little bit sad, Iowa ranks at 123 out of 130. At just under 300 yards per game, 299.2.
So here's my take on Minnesota. They've played Ohio State, and the next best team they've played is Purdue, which is, you know, which Purdue are you getting? They didn't get Purdue's best shot by any means. Credit to them. They only gave up 13 points to them. But outside of that, I am not looking at anyone with a halfway decent offense that they've played on their schedule. You know, you got Miami of Ohio. Colorado is horrible. They lost to Bowling Green. They beat Purdue. Nebraska's offense just fired their entire offensive staff.
Which we need to talk about. We need to talk about exactly. That. People are wondering, what does that – I don't even remember I remember head coaches, right? You fire one coach, the head coach, there's one issue or at least
– Honestly, the head coach is the easiest coach to fire.
Right, because he doesn't have
a – name someone like the game day head coach – and everyone just goes on with their normal coaching duties.
Right. One of the
backfill 4 offensive coaches. That's your entire offensive staff.
Well, that's you don't.
So what are they doing?
Who teaches the kids the game plan? Do they just have offensive meetings and that's it? And they just everybody gets the same installation?
Bro, I don't know.
So
that's what I want to know.
And everybody is sending us this. I probably got 10 messages that said, hey, you guys, it was funny. One person worded it. I know we don't want to make this podcast about Nebraska, but they just fired like half of their staff. How does that work?
Have you guys even heard of something like this before?
And that's what I'm trying to think. I cannot remember a time where mid-season the assistants got the boot.
Right? I mean, like one assistant gets fired. Sure. Like that happens every now and then.
Right.
Or an OC or a DC gets fired, sure. To fire your entire offensive coaching staff. What is your plan to backfill those spots like right now? Are you like making the GAs that the coach for that room right now? You only have like three of them, probably at least one of them's on defense.
Right. And so I'm thinking like how you start to think of a week, right? And how important every day there's meetings for that position group. Every day there's, I mean, there's not necessarily install, but there's stuff you have to go over. There's someone has to lead that group. Did they just say, all right, this week we're just having an offensive meeting every day? Like I'm guessing that might be what happened. Who makes the call for personnel?
Luckily for them, they're on a bye this week.
So they're going to figure it out.
So they're going to, yeah, they're going to figure out just as well as they figured it out for the last 10 years.
Well, I was about to say, you know what? That makes me think I'm just going to bet the under in whatever game they're playing this week, but they are on a bye.
Huh. Well, we need them. Hey,
but whoever is the new offensive staff, they get to game plan for the second best defense in the country next week in Wisconsin.
Hey, and you know what, Kev? Maybe there's some magic in the air, because actually I was talking about my, you know, Lauren, Nebraska fan, Nebraska in a real bad spot. Clearly, I think they have 7 losses. They have 2 games left. They play Wisconsin after this bye week, and then they finish with Northwestern. Oh no, they finished with us. Wow. I'm cutting that one out of the podcast. I'm an idiot. Anyway, Black Friday. Duh.
Definitely don't cut that. That was the dumbest thing said, and I said some dumb things, and made me look like an idiot. So now you get to look like an idiot.
Well, you looked like an idiot the
other day. Kluver.
You looked like an idiot the other day when you didn't know we were talking about a blocked punt, and somehow still everybody liked it. So I don't know how to explain that one.
Yeah, that's because I'm likable and you're just ugly.
Right.
Oh, that's just hurtful.
Yes. And this is just, you know, if you lived with us for 5 years, this is just sort of the stuff that you would hear at the Benton household. And I'm really used to it. So we're going to move on. I'm hoping there's some magic. Hey, fire everybody. Everyone just starts playing out their ass. And in 2 weeks, they figure out how to beat Wisconsin. Because at this point, Northwestern isn't taking down Wisconsin this weekend. And it has to be Minnesota in the final weekend or Nebraska in 2 weeks. So we got to have it. We got to have it. And we have to win out. Otherwise, those Big Ten tickets or those championship game tickets, I have to sell. And I'm not really looking forward to doing that. So,
yep. So, I mean, if you want to bring it back to this Iowa game, it's an elimination game for the West. Whoever loses is out of the race.
Yes. We're going to talk more about it. We're going to take a quick break. People evidently like when I take the break, so I'm going to do it. And when we come back, we're going to get a little Apple podcast reviews. Haven't done a few in a while, so we're going to bring them back. And we're back. E90 Mac. 5-star review. Love it. A really interesting player's perspective on college football. A fun listen with some great insight into the games as well. Thank you. 5-star review. Now, here's the kicker on this one. You guys know that we do one good, one bad, but the second one is also a 5-star. However, it takes a twist, takes a little turn.
Okay.
Great podcast, sometimes idiots.
That's fair.
Again, 5 stars. I absolutely love to listen to these guys. It's a great podcast and usually a great listen. But ever since the Purdue game, I have never heard 3 guys have Brian and Spencer's dicks so far down their throats. We are 124th in total offense after Wisconsin, but Brian can't do anything wrong to these guys. Give them a listen. Drake is funny and it's a great podcast, but they treat fans like idiots sometimes because they played.
That's a weird review for a 5-star, but maybe they just misclicked that one, but whatever. So,
he's going to enjoy this one. This guy, his review of our podcast is as whack as his star rating. Like, 5-star means perfect, and if you have critiques, that means it's not perfect. That means your critique is no longer valid because you gave us 5 stars. Yeah, goodbye.
Something is conflicting. I do find it interesting that he mentioned since the Purdue game. I think maybe he needs to look on the inside, and it might just be the way that he's felt since the Purdue game. That might be some projection on his end. I've heard this several times over the years. And I guess there's really nothing we can do about it, but people, when we have conflicting opinions or we agree on something on this podcast and it happens to go against what a certain fan might think. Occasionally they will get the idea that we are talking down to them and that we're treating them like they're stupid. And I'll be honest, it would be naive to think that there aren't some stupid people that listen to this podcast out there. I'm not gonna front. And I think most of the Army's cool, but let's play the odds. Thousands of people listen to this show. Everybody has an opinion. Somebody has the dumbest opinion out of those thousands of opinions, right?
Usually it's me, but then somebody's going for second.
So someone's down there. So, you know, if it ever sounds like we are, especially if you're a person like this guy who likes us, but then maybe when we disagree on something, then you feel like we're treating you like you're stupid. Again, that might just be something that's a personal issue that you have to figure out. But nonetheless, sorry, we just talk about football and give our opinions. And we got a 5-star. So thanks, bud. The defensive backfield, a place where Kevin once called home and then really, it really, really just didn't work out. It was like a divorced marriage, right? It just wasn't something.
I'd liken it more to a divorce. You know, I was a puppy. They brought me in the house. I kept shitting on the rug. And so they just said, you know what? You're going to be an outside dog now. Go to the doghouse. And that was the linebacker's room.
I'm going to liken it to Phil and the secondary was a really – I'm not even going to try it. I'm not even going to go there. I'll get in trouble by trying to make an analogy. And I'm not Drake, so I can't get away with it. Anyway.
CTE, baby.
Someone said that the other day. They're like, wow, you can really tell the CTE's coming through on Drake. He doesn't even know the punt was blocked. It's like, no, he just didn't watch the fucking game. So the Doughboys, as you guys know, Coach Ferentz was asked about it in the press conference yesterday. And I believe the question was something along the lines of, how do you feel about the secondary calling themselves the Doughboys? And he's like, oh, yeah, I mean, I'm all for it. I mean, it makes sense, right? You know, like turnovers, you know, dough, right? Like that's what they're talking about.
Like an apple turnover.
Yeah, that's what he thought it was.
I think he was being facetious. I really think he was.
No. I was going to pull the clip, but horrible podcast host.
Listen, dude. Coach Ferentz is an extremely intelligent individual, and if you don't think he can act dumbfounded or like just like he doesn't understand what's actually happening, then you're wrong. He can act.
Well, Drake, I think he does do that sometimes, but there's some other times where he's like legitimately like how the hell is he supposed to know what 20-year-old kids are into these days, you know?
But you think the head coach thought his group of DBs named himself the Doughboys after some pastries.
I could follow his line of logic.
I actually think it's better. I say
honestly, it makes more sense. It's better. Yes.
All right, carry on.
Screw the money, Drake. If you watch the clip, I think you would change your idea. Like just okay. From you seeing,
he does him. The old. Huh, how about that?
Yeah, he goes, and I think he even got a little red. Like, oh shit, that's not what it is, huh? I figured turnovers, you know, could kind of fit. It's actually really cool, and I think they should switch it to that. I reached out to Jack today and said something about it, and he said they've got a ton of people to reach out to them about merch, and I think if they just put a little Apple turnover on a T-shirt with their numbers and the Doughboys across the top,
or like tell them we'll sponsor Wash the Doughboys with their numbers on them.
I told Jack, I said if you guys want to do a T-shirt, we'll sell it from our website. You guys take care of the NIL stuff. You guys will take all the money and we'll work with our guys to make it happen. So there could be something down the line of the Doughboys, and it's either going
to
have
the Wash of Walk-Ons being a podcast for the kids.
Yeah. We're for the old kids and the young kids, and it might have a dollar sign on it, or it might have an Apple turnover. So take your pick. It might have both. Somebody sent in a really creepy, so instead of Pillsbury Doughboy, someone sent in Phil's Scary Doughboys. What do you think about
it? I like that.
That's pretty good.
I
and they drew like a nightmare fuel version of the Pillsbury Doughboy with a football helmet on. I'll send you guys. Oh,
shit. Somebody out here is trying to get a big shout out.
Right.
Yeah. They're trying to get on the actual merch.
We got some creative fans, man.
Our fans are
merch.
Do y'all remember after the Penn State game when they made the rat face of
Oh, dude, that went viral.
That was hilarious.
Yeah, our fans are insane, dude. The guy who made me the Hawks by a Million helmet. I mean, there's some – you get a fan base, a listenership that is this wide and deep, and you got some people with some talent out there.
You got some dudes out there.
You got some dudes – you know, you got some dudes that are some humans, right? They got some talents, okay? So good shit all around. Oh, okay. Real quickly, the rankings came out, and I know this isn't a ranking show. Did you guys see that at all, and what did you think of it?
I did see it. I thought it was very weird to
Michigan over Michigan State. Or
yeah, I don't know how you can quite justify that. I have no idea how you can possibly justify that. They played each other.
Yeah.
It's just like us being ranked over Wisconsin in the AP poll, like right next to each other. It's like,
yeah.
That makes sense.
The one thing is if you do look at it, if you take away the fact that it was a head-to-head matchup and you don't look at the head-to-head, they both have one loss and Michigan's loss is to a better team.
Okay. I understand what you're saying. That works for teams that haven't played each other.
Right.
Or if the teams that have played each other are very far apart. So you have like a three-loss team and a one-loss team that are ranked pretty close to each other, but the three-loss team beat that one-loss team.
Yeah.
That makes sense, you know. They're right next to each other, and Michigan State beat Michigan.
Yeah.
There is no reason.
No, I understand.
You can justify that to me. Unless you lose to like an 0-11 team and get blown out by 100, that makes no sense to me.
Right. Wisconsin 18, Purdue 19, Iowa 20, just holding down the top 20 back there with the Big Ten West. I think that that Gary Barta, and who is not a popular figure across the country, and the rest of the committee is very much so hoping that Georgia is as good, as top tier as they look, and that they are going to beat Alabama. Because if that does not happen,
they're going to be
there.
Yeah, there's some nightmare scenarios for the committee. Like, say Cincinnati wins out, Oklahoma wins out,
Oregon wins out, Ohio State wins out.
Ohio State wins out. Bama beats Georgia in the SEC championship. Oregon wins out.
You got right
6-7 teams with a decent claim, you know.
As it stands right now, they have Georgia, Alabama, Oregon, Ohio State. So you have undefeated Cincinnati at 5, undefeated Oklahoma at 8. If Alabama beats Georgia in the SEC championship, Oregon wins out with a Pac-12 championship, Ohio State wins out with a Big Ten championship, how do they change the rankings? There's no justification. And since two teams get left out undefeated. Maybe they're just banking on the playoff is going to expand. And they're
no, so here's my thing is you can't leave an undefeated Power 5 team out if there's other teams with one losses in.
So
therefore, if Oklahoma wins out, they're in. In my opinion, it's just completely wrong to leave an undefeated Power 5 champion out. It's just completely wrong.
I don't think you can ever justify it. Like, it would be like room to riot. Like, the whole conference would go up and riot.
Right. Oregon beat Ohio State. Therefore, Oregon would be in over Ohio State.
Okay.
Alabama would be in because they're the SEC champ with one loss to a solid Texas A&M.
And Cincinnati just gets boned.
The only debate then would be Georgia, Ohio State, or Cincinnati.
How did we get to Georgia? You're assuming
this is Georgia if Georgia won. Loses to
this
Alabama.
Is if Georgia loses in the SEC championship.
I missed that point. I thought we were just talking about the actual rank. Okay.
And then from there, you can fight it all out from there. It'd be a tough decision from there, honestly. I can see Ohio State because as good as Georgia has looked, they don't have a whole lot of great wins on their schedule. I mean,
I also see it this way. So
they beat Clemson first game of the year. Clemson has now been discovered as not good this year.
Crazy their turnaround from one year to the next.
They beat Arkansas when Arkansas is number 8. Arkansas is not ranked anymore.
No longer ranked. Oh, well,
or they're 25 now.
Yep, 25th.
Okay. They beat Auburn. Auburn is now, I think, unranked.
17th.
17? Okay.
So they have a couple okay, you know, decent wins. Here's Kentucky another.
Kentucky is no longer ranked.
Here's another thing, Kev, is
Florida is no longer ranked. Missouri is trash. So they have two ranked wins, one versus 25, one versus 17. So I could see giving it to Ohio State, given that their loss was to a playoff team, and they're going to go on a stretch here of Purdue ranked, Michigan State ranked, Michigan ranked, whoever they play in the Big Ten Championship ranked.
Yeah.
I could see Ohio State over Georgia in this.
You actually make
it. Would be so crazy to, it would be so crazy to see Georgia's defense not get to make a championship run, though, because like that is the prototypical championship defense. Like they could shut it down, don't cross the 50, and we're going to win the national championship no matter what. Like that type of defense. But
it would be absurd if I mean, they would be – has there been a better college defense? Again, they haven't played – some of the top teams.
I'm sure they have been on par.
2011 Alabama teams.
Think about the Hurricanes in the early 2000s.
True. I'd love to. I mean,
they've got Hall of Famers.
Yeah. It'd be fun to compare. I like that argument, Kevin. And what I also like about that argument, and you guys know this as well as I do, and a lot of people should start to shift their mind here, is similar to the Oregon-Ohio State situation. The Ohio State team that played Oregon early in the season, they look a whole lot different now, right?
Yeah, I know where you're going this. I hate that argument, though.
You don't like the recency argument?
I hate that argument.
Wow.
Because okay, we're going over your whole body of work for the entire season. If
right,
the first few games of the year don't matter, why do we even play them?
I agree, but when it comes down to – I'm saying when it comes down to the Alabama-Georgia, you're basically in that scenario. If you take Ohio State, assuming Alabama beats them in the SEC championship, you're like, hey, you basically just played them 3 weeks ago. You had your chance. We're going to give another team a shot, right? I don't know.
That I can see, but to say, oh, Ohio State's playing a lot better right now than they did in the beginning of the season, although as true as that is, I hate that argument. The entire season should be.
And that's why if Cincy wins out and doesn't make the playoff, I'm completely out on the playoff, because it doesn't fix any of the bullshit issues that the BCS, you know what I'm saying? Like the reason they moved it to the playoff is so that there could be a team who typically would not get the opportunity to play in the national championship could actually get the opportunity. And if they're just going to go no USF and was it USF or UCF?
UCF.
No UCF and no Cincy, even though they're both undefeated, then like, what's the point of the playoff? Just take it back to the BCS and name your two favorite teams like they always do anyways.
Yeah, and it forces those teams like UCF. I think UCF is one of the teams joining the Big 12, right? They were one of the four, BYU, UCF, Houston,
Cincinnati.
And Cincinnati. It forces those teams to then betray their conferences and say, well, hey, our conference doesn't mean shit on a national level. And if we win all our games, it doesn't do us anything. And it starts causing controversy. Have you guys, I know we had this conversation, we'll have it every year until, you know, probably even once it changes. I think the last time we talked about changing the playoff, we all were in kind of agreement that 8 was good. But from what I've heard, it's going to go upwards of 10 or 12.
Yeah, I don't like that.
How does that work, though? Make that bracket for me. Teams get buys and stuff.
The top four teams would get a buy, and then
12 round team, top two and a 10.
Right. But
I don't like it, honestly. I think 8's the magic number.
I do too.
Any more than that, I think you start to discount the regular season a little too much for my liking. That's the best thing about college football, in my opinion, is that more so than any other league in the entire country, every single game matters.
You love that.
The MLB where you play 160 games, you can lose 5 games in a row and still win first place in the division, no problem.
So you're a big fan.
It's not NBA where, you know, your starters don't play half the games.
Right. LeBron out again with
this. You get 12 opportunities plus a conference championship. You better win at least 11 of those games if you want a chance to be in the.
And that
running for a national title.
And that fits you, Kevin, so much that your mentality was like, hey, if we want a fucking chance at the title, day one, September, first game of the year against Middle Tennessee. It counts right here, right now.
Hell yeah, dude. Hell yeah. I mean, I think if you start putting three lost teams in there, it kind of,
well, yeah,
it dilutes the importance of the regular season. Every single, like I just said it, man, like I want it to be balls out on the line. Every single game matters. Like you're playing for the national championship because you are.
I like top 10. I don't hate top 10. Right now that would be.
See, I don't like that because I don't like the buys.
I don't like the buys because then it feels like you're giving those top two, like, okay, they're already probably the best two teams, and now they're also going to be the freshest two teams. Yeah, I get that too.
I think eight's the magic number. Give the five conferences they're at large. Give the group of five one. Give the five power five automatic bids for the conference champion. Yeah. I mean, that's the only way a three loss team gets in. They win the conference championship.
Yeah.
Then you get group of five gets an automatic bid and two at large bids.
It's interesting.
I think it's perfect.
Yeah, I agree.
If you're not able to meet any of those requirements, then you weren't deserving to be playing for a national championship anyway.
You're right. I forgot the exact number, but a couple weeks ago while I was just pondering it middle of the day, I did the percentage of how many teams make the NCAA tournament versus how many Division I basketball teams there are. And I believe it's somewhere around, gosh, I want to say it's like 20%. No. Yes, it's around 20% because there's 68 teams that make the tournament. It's something like 368 teams total in Division I basketball. So even at 12 teams, you're still only taking 10% of the teams to the playoff. I don't know. Does the March Madness just to make it feel a little bit diluted and not that cool? I'd say so. I'd say the round of 32, which then brings it down to that percentage of teams, probably feels a little bit more elite. So I don't know. It's interesting. And that's obviously basketball as well.
Yeah. And then I'll say this again about college football. Do we really believe anyone outside the top four teams for as long as the college football playoff's been around, anyone outside those top four really had a chance at winning the national title?
Probably yes, because I would have liked to have seen UCF.
So for the undefeated teams and UCF, maybe they deserved a shot. I mean, they beat a good Auburn team that year in the bowl game. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But looking at this year, like say like the eighth team in the college football playing, or say like 2-7, Alabama versus Michigan State. What do you think the spread is on that game?
21.
It's probably going to be very similar to the last time those two teams played.
Which was like three playoff touchdowns.
Which was a fucking beatdown.
Yeah. You're right. But why? So why does it? I guess then the question is, why does it feel like football needs to be just decided by the top? Is it because there's less variance in football? Because like, why not say that in basketball then? Why not make it just a top four in basketball? Like the, you know.
Because we've seen in huge upsets in the tournament every year in basketball, where in the top four teams in college football, it is true big boy time to go play in the NFL type of football. Like that's not always the case on a college basketball court, dude. You can have a top team get beat five times. The number one team in the country could have three, four, five losses every year going into the tournament. Like they're nowhere near as high level in comparison to the moderate levels as typically the top four are, like we've been discussing.
Yeah, so I'll say this. I'm in favor of expanding it to eight. I'll say that right now. And upsets in college football do happen. We were part of a couple pretty big ones.
Yep.
But I don't think when it gets expanded, you'll see anyone outside the top four win it for at least five, maybe more years.
Tell me this, Kevin. In the playoff era now, have we seen anybody not ranked one or two win it?
I want to say the first year Ohio State was ranked number four when they won.
Yeah, I think that was the one.
Yeah, okay. That was when Cardale shot
with Zeke Jones
came out slinging the last three games of the year.
Hey, we don't go to college. We don't play college, right? You know,
we didn't come here to play school.
We don't play school. And I, hey, Cardale, I relate with that, you know?
He also doesn't play in the NFL, though, so.
Same. I have 2 points there, and then we'll finish that conversation and go to everybody's favorite segment, which might be sponsored soon.
Woo-wee!
More details coming on that. I like it because it makes
and
it
when
more
you say might be Kluver, does that you mean like the money might be in my bank account tomorrow or the next day?
Papers have not been signed, but everything is lined up and sort of worked out.
Very good.
So
carry on.
I agree. If you expanded, and this wouldn't make any sense, you'd have to play into February like the Super Bowl to get this done. But if you expanded the college football playoff to 64 teams, you would see some upsets like you see in the NCAA tourney, right? With a greater sample size, you're going to get some. But I also agree that, for example, the year UConn made it as like a 7 seed, or maybe it was Butler who made it as a 7 seed into the championship game. And they actually, I think they won the whole thing, right? Like back in like 2008, the 7 seed won it. And you know that they weren't the best team in the country. And it just kind of feels dirty. But for some reason in basketball, there's this cool idea of like, well, anybody can win it all, you know? And in football, it's more like we want the best team to win it, or one of the best teams. I don't know.
Yeah, I really don't see that happening in football. One, you know.
I'm not saying it will
or should.
You
have a week to prepare for these games.
Right.
The better team usually does win in football. Not all the time. I'd say the better team wins 70 to 80% of the time.
Probably more. Yeah.
And also, the lesser teams would get beaten down.
Oh, yeah.
By the physicality of how many of a round that is.
Can you imagine, like, who's, I don't even know because they don't rank them out that high. But can you imagine, like, I don't know, like Northwestern at 6-6 going up against Alabama in the first
Georgia.
Round.
it's Northwestern at Georgia.
Yeah. It would
Northwestern's be just, total offensive yards over under would be at -550.
I think the end of the discussion sort of comes back to, it's just a different game, and it's not, you can't compare apples
right,
to oranges.
Yeah, exactly.
When we come back, everybody's favorite.
DJ Kevin.
Kevin.
All I do is win, 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 no matter what. Got money on my mind, I can never get it.
Tougher week for us last week. Tougher week. But that doesn't mean we quit. We're back with more lines.
I had a winning week, dude. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, but the pod was 4-5 overall. So, And our disclaimer, Kev, that we talked about before Drake got on, before we started the podcast, is the podcast pick of the week is Purdue plus 20. Purdue plus 20 on the Ohio State Buckeyes.
I've got 100 on them.
Wow. Strong. That's strong. Kev, hit us.
I mean, I love Purdue plus 20. Ohio State probably ends up winning this game, but give me the almost 3 touchdowns all day long.
Yeah.
If you see them play offensively, like they played versus the Hawks, like they played versus Michigan State, where they're getting open and Aiden O'Connell is finding the open guy and putting it on the target, you know, they can score and they can hang around. So give me that plus 20 all day long. For my other three teams that we're going to – so we're all picking Purdue plus 20?
It's a pod pick. I'll put it on the graphic as a separate pick.
All right, you might want to fade that pick, everyone.
everybody go put the house on Ohio State.
Yeah. So I got Georgia covering 20.5 versus Tennessee. Mm. Georgia's played, bar none, the best football in the entire country. Their defense is historically good. And Tennessee's defense has not been very good. So I expect them to their defense keep doing what they've been doing and be able to put up a lot of points. So I got them covering those 3 touchdowns versus Tennessee. I've got Notre Dame covering 5.5 versus Virginia. Notre Dame's been playing some solid football lately. Virginia's been hit or miss. I'm guessing this game's going to be a miss. Give me the Fighting Irish to cover 5.5. And then lastly, I've got the Wisconsin Badgers covering the huge number of 24 versus at home versus the Wildcats. Look, we saw what they did to us, and it was ugly. Northwestern's defense is not near what Iowa's defense is. No. They have the one of the worst running defenses in the league.
Yeah.
I expect Wisconsin to run all over them and vice versa. I think Northwestern has as hard of a time, if not harder of time, moving the ball than we had against them. So give me the Badgers to cover big.
Okay. Badger Nation. Kluver's picks for the week. I'm going Wake Forest -2 at home over NC State. They lost their first game of the year last week. I don't know if any of you saw the score. It was like 56-53 or 59.
Yeah, yeah. Dude, the ACC has actually become the new Big 12.
They're the new Big 12. There's no defense. I think that Wake Forest, I mean, they've been riding this high all year. Now they're in another tight line game over NC State, but they're home. I don't think they dropped two in a row. Wake Forest, I mean, they can score at will. But they also don't play a bunch of like crazy good defensive teams, and their defense is atrocious. So this could be a fun one to sweat. Wake Forest -2. My second one is going to be, I think Washington State covers on Oregon, and I have no backing of this other than I feel in my gut that Oregon's going to slip up one more time this year, and I'm choosing it to be this week.
How many are you getting there?
Washington State is getting 13.5 points.
Okay.
So yes, I'm going to
Oregon hasn't looked invincible by any means.
Yeah.
They played really well versus Ohio State, and they've kind of just gotten it done every week since there, except for their one loss versus Stanford, of course.
I think that there's definitely a good chance that they still win this game, but I feel like they're going to be in close games as they try and stretch this playoff run out late in the season.
They really haven't been good against the spread this year, I don't
think. Yeah. And then my final is I'm going to the Horseshoe. Kevin, you picked Purdue and Michigan State to score points last week. I think Ohio State and Purdue are going to score points this week. I'm going over 62. High line, but I'm going over 62.
I think if the over hits, then Purdue definitely covers.
I would agree. That's part of my logic there. So, Drake, hit us with what you got. You're on mute. Hashtag COVID. Zoom.
My fault, boys. I always mute my mic so that I can give you guys the floor. All right, my first pick is the Cowboys at home, covering 8 against the Falcons. Cowboys offense looked awesome, and the Falcons are down their best option on offense. Calvin Ridley's still out, and that line
did
is all the way.
Did you watch the Cowboys game last week?
Yeah, I did. They didn't play well. Like, some teams have a bad week. The Packers didn't play well the first game of the season, and now they haven't lost until they lost Aaron Rodgers to old Uncle COVID. Also, the Cowboys on other betting sites are giving up as many as 10, and on DraftKings they're only giving up 8, so that's another reason to take it. My second pick, going to surprise you guys a little bit, is the Jets at home getting 13 to the Bills. Bills offense has looked a little bit off, and 13's a lot of points. Jets are at home. The Jets haven't looked as terrible recently. I can't believe I'm picking New York City, but I don't know. Picking a 13-point dog just kind of feels fun. And my third pick.
That's how I felt with Washington State too.
My third pick would for sure be the Packers -3 if I knew Aaron Rodgers was cleared. So assuming Aaron Rodgers is clear, that's my pick. But if it's not, give me that. Give me the Packers -3.
Okay. I'll grab another one from you tomorrow if it gets worked out. So there we go. For those listening, hopefully my hope is that we can get the merch store up this week for the holiday run. Okay. Holiday run. If not, it's guaranteed to be out next week during the Illinois week. Okay. So you're going to be able to buy all your merch stuff. There is the original HBAM design. We have two new HBAM designs this year in the holiday store. We also have Let's Have a Day, and we have a tight end U shirt that is slightly altered. We made Noah black this time because he's black, right? Kind of messed that one up the first time. I I thought that was obvious when I sent it into the old art design team, and evidently they're racist. So the new merch.
I actually cannot believe for everything that has happened at the University of Iowa on that exact topic.
We didn't get torched. And,
dude, how the fuck does that happen?
And that's what I'm saying. I promise it wasn't, you know, I sent that in as a specific request and it just didn't happen. So new merch coming.
Look like Minecraft characters.
Yes, they are 8-bit characters. I actually like this version a little bit better. And I think you guys will really enjoy the merch. In future, I know you guys want Cheeto Fingers merch. I think we may have something with oink oink motherfucker and then put the Floyd trophy on the shirt. So there's a million designs we
can
do.
That would be if that ends up being sold on our website, that won't feel good in my heart big time.
Yeah.
Because oh gosh. Uncensored.
Yeah. So
beautiful.
As the walk-on enterprise grows here, we have a little bit more capital. We may be able to stock our store with some more things. And we're going to save some of those designs too for the walk-on army on Patreon, because that's how we do things around here. That's it. 266. We're fighting for Floyd. Similar to how Wisconsin has had Iowa's number over the last decade, it's sort of that situation with Iowa having Minnesota's number over the last decade. Let's hope that trend happens the same as it did this year for the Badger matchup as it does for the Minnesota matchup. We bring home Floyd. You don't own him. You rent him. And Saturday rent is due, boys. So 266, Hawks versus Minnesota. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you on Monday. Peace.